Welcome to Idle Red Hands, a podcast from Japan about gaming and gamer life. And welcome back to Idle Red Hands. I'm Chris.
I'm Wayne.
I'm Lyle.
How you guys doing?
Pretty good.
Yeah, good.
So, you said you wanted to play Space Hulk again?
Yeah, like nothing else.
Really?
Oh, we played last week.
Jerks.
someone was too busy. Yeah, after talking about it on our board games episode, we all got the craving to play Space Hulk.
Kind of like you had said you wanted McDonald's after you watched that Super Size Me movie.
Super Size Me, yeah.
Yeah, it's so weird. Me too. Like, everybody was saying when they watched that movie, they felt sick and never wanted to eat McDonald's again. After watching that, I wanted McDonald's so badly.
Yeah, so did I. I was like, oh, Big Mac. Yeah, that'd be all right.
This guy's got a good whole year. Wow.
Yeah, it's not killing this guy. He's having a Big Mac every day.
Right?
That was a 90-minute commercial for McDonald's. Wayne lent me the Dungeon Masters.
Uh-huh. Hmm.
Which is a documentary about three dungeon masters, D&D dungeon masters.
Yeah, you mentioned that when I looked it up. It said on some of the reviews I read that it was really depressing.
But... yeah.
But it gave me a hankering to play classic D&D.
Yeah.
I was going to say, you wouldn't want to give that movie to someone and say, here is what the game is about, or here is what we do, because...
However
true it is, and you know it's a documentary, so obviously parts are cut up, so you don't. It's not a whole picture. Obviously, not a whole picture of these people's lives, mm-hmm. but the picture they do paint with the edits. I don't know. It is slightly depressing, and you wouldn't want to say, "Here's a representation of the hobby." In my opinion.
Yeah, it's more about those three people, and I think they really put a spotlight on what problems they're having and try to get them to open up about what issues they're dealing with.
Yeah.
Because the one guy actually makes a point saying, I don't really remember too much. Like, he obviously didn't like his childhood.
Yeah.
But then he kind of clams up and you're as much as you would want to, you know, you have that shot of Freud, like listening to this guy's bad childhood, you're kind of like, that was pretty smart on his part to just kind of clam up.
Hmm. Do they give a pretty good view of the hobby?
One girl dresses up like a druid for most, at least
50%. You're talking about dark elf.
Oh, sorry, drow. I meant
drow.
Drow.
Yeah.
Druid. What's druid? What's that?
Druid. Drew Carey dresses up as a druid. As a drow.
Yeah. Actually, I was kind of disappointed at, as Lyle said, they don't focus so much on the hobby as just here are three people who happen to be dungeon masters and kind of...
So the drow woman has trouble finding the right man.
Oh.
I would say
that was being dressed up as a drow.
Well, I mean, she
actually, no. I think
she even
says dressing up as a drow helps her.
Really?
Well, I mean, she even, to her credit, in the movie, she says, I need to find someone who likes me for me as opposed to my hobby.
Yeah, no.
And she's realized that, and I agree with it, you know? But on the other hand, maybe you should stop dating people who you find through the hobby.
She does LARPing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh my God. Seeing that made me. I never wanted to LARP previous to seeing that, and after watching that movie, that just. I don't know.
Now you get cravings like you will for a Big Mac.
No. That was like the opposite. That was like the penicillin for LARPing. You know, after seeing that.
See, I thought of, I saw this thing, it was ages ago on YouTube, but it was some Irish comedian, and he did a TV show where it's like he's thrown into a situation and he has 3 days to come up with a routine to this group of people, and one was a bunch of LARPers, and I think they were probably D&D LARPers.
A comedic routine?
Stand-up
routine?
Do a stand-up thing. And so he was just kind of going around them playing LARPing for 3 days in the woods and stuff, and at the end he did a routine. It was a really good routine, but it also looked like a lot of fun. What he was doing, so. And at the end...
What he was doing. Yeah. Oh, you mean him doing as his comedy routine, or what he was doing during the LARP?
Including during the LARP. And, like, when it was over, he might have just been saying it for the cameras as well, but he was saying, it's not like I imagined it would be. I had a lot of fun.
I don't know if I ever told... I actually went to a swashbucklers club.
Okay.
Which was kind of... Yeah, honestly, it was like... It was a dinner party, and you pay, and you get all you can... drink, wine, and I believe soft drinks. Mm. And then you get a chicken dinner.
Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like a medieval time style thing.
It was more like a Renaissance fair, maybe. Mm-hmm. But then you get to practice with the swords.
You get to use swords?
Yeah, they taped up the end. It was probably pretty dangerous, actually.
That's totally awesome.
And then we had a little battle where they gave some people little muskets, and I ended up with a musket that shot a rubber band.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of disappointing, I guess.
Yeah, it was a little bit. When I thought I hit the guy, and then he kept charging me to wail on me. I'm like, aren't you dead? He's like, you didn't hit me. I'm like, oh, I guess you didn't feel the rubber band.
Yeah, but back to the point about why RPGs have rules.
Right. So yeah. I suppose that was kind of LARP, but that was a good time.
Me and my buddies, we used to play Dagohear way back in the day.
I'm sorry?
Dagohear. It was
sorry, what did you say?
Dagohear.
Dagohear.
It's a pretty small thing around the Midwest. I mean, I think it's around the country, but they might have different names for it. But it's basically where you take a PVC pipe and you wrap it up in layers of foam and such, and then run around and hit your friends with it.
I met a guy in Tokyo who does that here.
Cool.
I forget what they call it. It might be the same thing, but they basically walk around, or they have little mock battles where they hit each other with these foam swords.
Yeah, me and my friends tried it, and, you know, it was just, you know, a bunch of five guys running around my buddy's yard hitting each other with swords. But my friend went to the University of Illinois, and they actually had a pretty big club for it. And they said, like, other universities' clubs would come, and they'd have battles of, you know, 50 people on 50 people running across the football field with swords and such. Sounded like a lot of fun. I never got to do one of those, but... But anyway, that's less LARPing and more just hitting people with weapons.
Which actually, it's one of the LARP things kind of...
Yeah, I was going to say, back to the Dungeon Masters, that's what LARPing kind of looked like. I mean, they had a couple scenes of, like, battles, and it was just people wailing on each other with foam bats. And, like, I looked at that and I said, how many times do you have to get hit before you're, quote-unquote, dead, or...
Yeah, because it was like four people taking on. It seemed like a building of people, and it just looked like they were basically getting crushed.
Well, there didn't seem to be any rules at all. It's just like whack, 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 whack. I mean, you might as well be
the
little
rules that we played
kids.
With is like single-handed weapons you'd cover with a blue cloth around it, and double-handed weapons you had red cloth. And blue cloth you could take two body hits with it. Red cloth you could only take one body hit with it. And I think like if you got hit in the arm or something, you'd have to put your arm behind your back. You couldn't use that. If you got hit in the leg, you'd have to go down on one knee, something like that.
I don't know. I guess my whole thing with it is like there didn't seem to be any referees around.
I think there were.
I'm sure there were.
I think she was a referee.
But from what I saw, the little snippets they had, it didn't look like anyone was enforcing these rules, and it just devolved into just, you know, just wailing on people with foam weapons, which doesn't appeal to me at all in that kind of setting. I mean, my brother and I used to, like, whack each other with, like, the long wrapping paper tubes, you know. We even tried, like, crumpling up newspaper and stuffing with them so they were solid. Oh, my God, that was a bad idea. Because those things stung like a bitch when you got hit with them.
Hence the foam wrapping.
Yeah, hence the foam wrapping. Hey, it took us, like, 2 hours to, like, fully pack these tubes. Then we, like, got hit once and we're like, you know what?
Hardest concrete.
Yeah, we're done. All right, that's it. No more.
Why don't you just get sticks?
Yeah, right.
Because we live in the city. There are no sticks in the
city.
Broom
handles.
You know? You're really selling this inner city. What a rough childhood.
We didn't have sticks. We had to stuff paper. No. Tubes of paper to hit the balls around with.
In the inner city, our wrapping tubes are stuffed.
Oh, jeez. All right. Whatever.
Put the bike chain away. He's got a wrapping tube stuffed with wrapping.
Oh, man. That's going to hurt.
I just had a bag full of doorknobs.
All right. Funny.
So,
Wayne, you just didn't quite get about the rumble idea. Well, I got my wrapping tube. That you do.
Just like a Philadelphian, we're going to wrapping tube to a stick fight.
I'm just over here trying to put two and two together because that didn't really make any sense. All right.
So, what's the next topic?
I should say, the documentary, however much you want to say that he's painting these people in a bad light. Mm-hmm. It's actually a really interesting documentary on just a little snippets of these three people's lives.
Cool.
And at least, well, maybe all of them are very good dungeon masters, but one of them actually was a really good dungeon master in that he really set up the scenes really well.
Yeah,
I thought so too.
And they seem to be mostly playing with 1st and 2nd edition D&D.
Yeah, the guy that they highlight the most, at least with his DMing, I think he said 1st and 2nd edition.
So yeah, you kind of think, oh, I just want to play some of those adventures again.
Cool.
Got a hankering.
And so we will.
Yeah, and then we will. We will be doing, I believe, Ravenloft.
Sweet.
But while we actually get back to Space Hulk, while we were watching that, we were doing some research for today's episode, Creature Feature Werewolves. So we watched, American Werewolf in London or any other classic or The Wolfman. We watched The Werewolf of Washington.
Yeah. Ooh. As in Washington, D.C.
Ooh. Yeah, Washington, D.C., I should say. Not Twilight Part 4 or whatever. So this is about it's basically a B-movie. Mm-hmm. So
basically.
No, we could argue it's a C-movie.
All right, okay. Yeah, if you go down a grade, then we have an argument. You go up, yeah, not so much.
When did it get upgraded to B?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Yeah. Anyway.
So if people remember from a previous episode, I've bought over 200 classics.
Air quote classics.
Air quote classics.
Air quote classics. And working my way through those.
How far have you gotten so far?
Which is almost as painful as watching
four?
Some scenes of The Dungeon Master.
Four movies or four discs?
Four movies.
Wow.
And partway through, they saved Hitler's brain. And I actually didn't. I to be fair to that movie, which I now have like four copies of.
At least it cuts a few off. Get that one out of the way.
Yeah, I suppose probably I have only 100 movies, considering all the duplicates of Land of the Minotaur and they saved Hitler's brain.
Yeah.
But I, in all fairness to that movie, I didn't turn it off because it was so bad. It was actually a lot better than I expected, which doesn't make it a great movie. I didn't have time. I had to go do something else. But I've watched Black Sabbath, which was pretty terrible. Mm-hmm. And The House That Screamed, which was heavily edited, so...
The House That Screamed.
That screamed. Yeah, like they cut out the house. They cut out the scream.
So it's what, the house?
No, it's
or the scream or the, yeah, all right.
The that.
No, when a movie presents itself as a house for wayward girls, you know, with...
You watch it for certain reasons?
Sexual deviation, and they cut all that out. Then there's not much left of the movie. It's kind of a shell of a
Basically,
movie.
Basically, this guy shows up, delivers a pizza, and that's the end of the movie. He actually fixed the copier.
Guess that plumbing gets out.
Yeah, I was thinking that, yeah.
So, the werewolf movie.
So we watched this.
I didn't finish it, to be fair.
Yeah, we watched it until we turned it off because it was pretty boring. Mm-hmm. But I guess the premise is he's a reporter who then becomes the press secretary for the president of the United States. Mm-hmm. But at the beginning of the movie, he goes to Hungary where he gets bitten by a werewolf, mm-hmm. and then he comes back and then becomes
a press secretary,
and then a werewolf, or maybe a werewolf, then
a press
secretary. Doesn't matter. But yeah, it was pretty bad, but the budget wasn't great. I mean, there's a scene where it's a White House party, mm-hmm. and it seems to be in somebody's living room.
Yeah.
Which I'm sure...
It was?
I'm sure the President of the United States goes into people's living rooms, but you just don't kind of expect that in a party.
I've done student film before. I'm forgiving.
Well, yeah, I had Dean Stockwell. It was not student film. I mean, it's a pre-Quantum Leap Dean Stockwell.
I was going to say...
It does have a transformation scene. That's what I was going to say. Like, even despite the budget. And it has a little person scientist.
Yeah.
That was odd.
The obligatory dwarf.
That's kind of weird.
Yeah.
They show up a lot more in B-movies than in A-list movies.
Yes, they do.
Like I said,
if it's not a fantasy movie, then you don't see...
We watched it while we were playing Space Hulk, so I wasn't totally focused on the movie. But I remember looking over at one point and saying, hey... Why the hell is there now a dwarf scientist in this werewolf
movie? I think you said, why is there a dwarf suddenly in this movie talking to the werewolf? And then, oh, he's a scientist. I still don't get the dwarf part.
Right on. Oh, how was the transformation scene?
As you would expect for a pushing B movie.
So it's just kind of like a lot of quick cuts, and he's got more hair this time. And,
yeah.
No, it actually was a time-lapse thing. So the camera never stop-motion animation. Yeah, the camera never cut away.
Yeah.
But obviously they film a part.
Was it more like time lapse, like a stop motion, or was it more like jump cuts?
No, it wasn't jump cuts because basically what they did is they filmed them for a few seconds, then obviously turned off the camera, left them in the chair, applied more makeup and hair, turned the camera back on, so he's in the same place. So the shots kind of fade into one another. Mm-hmm. So it's always like a profile shot of him.
Mm-hmm. Full on face.
Full on face. And so it's not, I guess it kind of is essentially stop motion.
Yeah.
But it's just prosthetics.
Hmm.
And it actually, it's not so much the transformation scene. It's just they opted to go with a white werewolf. Like
yeah,
white
so furry at, werewolf. At one part, he ends up looking kind of old.
He looks like an old guy. Dean Stockwell's kind of a weedy guy, and mm-hmm. they opted not to pad out his physique.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And they could have easily done that. So basically, it looks like this old weedy werewolf,
not
terrorizing Washington,
yeah,
because he couldn't even get this woman in a phone booth because she closed the door. That stymied him. It just seemed they were trying to work in like different social issues of the time because mm-hmm. He walks into the Watergate building, and I think this is just right after Watergate broke, yeah. right after Nixon had to resign. So you're like, I don't know, is that a commentary? And then there's they brought in, discrimination.
Yeah, oh. They tried to.
Because basically they're describing this white werewolf, mm-hmm. and the guy's like, so a black man?
Yeah,
and the witness is a black guy, and he's like, what are you talking about?
Well, I'll have to say, he was a pretty light-skinned African-American.
Right.
Okay.
I mean, I'm not saying that sort of cheapens it, but they couldn't have found something a little bit darker.
They couldn't have gotten a taller scientist?
Apparently not. All right, whatever.
I don't get your point, Wayne.
I probably don't have one.
Yeah. But it was something like
that. You know those movies, casting it based on availability, not skill or looks.
Yeah. He's got everything we need, if only he was darker. And you needed an African American for that part because mm-hmm. the police officer saying, "So a black guy." He's like, "What are you talking about?" He goes, "So a black panther." "No, I'm talking about a werewolf." "So a panther did it." You know, like, ooh, that was awkward commentary.
Interesting.
And perhaps this commentary is a little awkward.
Yeah, just a little. You guys ever seen a movie called Ginger Snaps?
No, I heard of that, though.
Yeah, it was weird. We watched it when I was in film school, and like me and all my film buddies, we were all like, wow, this is really cool and stuff. So I showed it to some friends who weren't in film school, and they said, man, that was the worst movie I've ever seen. Mm. But anyway, it ties in that it also has a white werewolf for it. This one's like really, it's pretty well made, like big prosthetic suit and everything, so it looks
Yeah, if you're going to go, because obviously black is a very forgiving color, mm-hmm. or dark brown, so why you would opt for a color that you're makeup artists can't accommodate. Yeah. It was a bad choice.
Yeah.
And why you would... I don't know what they were trying to do with this phone booth scene where he can't get into the phone booth and then he rocks the phone booth and knocks it over as if I were rocking the phone booth and knocking it over.
Yeah, so he doesn't knock it over in one push. He has to, like,
He rocks it. And then he still can't get into the phone booth.
It's more like trying to get a guy getting a stuck candy bar at a vending
machine.
Yeah,
pretty much.
It had about that tension. If the little candy bar was screaming...
Yeah, I guess they were trying to show he obviously didn't have any, you know, he had the mental faculties of an animal, because
with the strength of Dean Stockwell, because
he pushes the phone booth.
Terror of the night.
Yeah, exactly. Which, yeah,
but go on.
He pushes the phone booth over, and then he can't figure out how to open it or get into it, right? And he's kind of like biting on the glass, which led to a very creepy scene, even though I don't think it was meant to be creepy. I didn't exactly enjoy seeing the inside the phone booth as he tries to, like, lick the phone booth, you know? trying to bite it to get it open. It was kind of creepy.
Point of view porn or something.
Yeah. I don't know if that was your point. But
I don't know if this was the intention. And I should raise the point. It's like sometimes you watch a bad movie mm-hmm. and you get a lot more ideas for a game than you would if you watched a really slick, well-done movie.
Because you're constantly thinking, man, I would do it so much better.
No, you can tell. But one thing, he doesn't become stronger.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he was supposed to, but that certainly did not come across in this movie.
Yeah,
yeah. I think they tried to do it because
lycanthropy being a curse, it comes mm-hmm. across as a handicap.
Mm-hmm. So,
but I don't think you said it that eloquently when we were watching the movie. You're like, man, he might as well just be like handicapped because he can't even get into the phone booth. Anyway, sorry.
Yeah.
I believe the word disability passed your lips. Lycanthropy as a disability.
Lycanthrop parking spaces.
Yeah.
See this werewolf going, "Have you no shame parking in my spot?" I get tired walking from back there. riding one of those courtesy things.
What's the icon look like for the space?
I have to picture this like a grocery store's little hairy guy on a scooter. Oh Lord!
Well, it's not polite to stare, Sally.
Yeah. Anyway, so what was your point?
Yes, what were you saying before that completely devolved?
Yeah. What if you had it's like a real curse and you don't get any benefits from it?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's not very great to play.
Mm.
But I mean, that was one thing that came up. Another thing is I think the movie overreached itself, but. They have a guy who's got political connections, and how that comes up in the movie. I don't want to ruin it for you, but
I'm sure. Yeah,
or for any listener that wants to. After we've sold this movie.
Anyway, the part I was going to say, I think he was supposed to be stronger, but
that's one thing when you watch a bad movie because they often don't get what they're supposed to do. So then it kind of sends your mind. In another direction. It's like, wow, he's pretty weak. Like, he's getting nothing from being this werewolf.
Yeah.
And it was some sort of subconscious thing. Like, the president would say something, like, and then he would try to, meet the president's wishes subconsciously, basically taking out the president's rivals.
I see.
And so you think,
I haven't gotten to that part, but it kind of makes sense from what I saw.
Yeah, so, well, I don't think they articulated it particularly well, but that seemed to be where it was going, is like the rivals were all getting knocked off by this werewolf, and the rivals were like old women, so
they
managed to overpower them.
Yeah, which kind of brings me to my point, I guess. It's kind of like one of those, like, cheesy 80s movies.
70s,
like,
it was 70s.
Or I was thinking, like I grew up.
Oh, I did watch a cheesy 80s movie. I told you, my mom's a werewolf as well.
Yeah.
I do the time, people. I put in that time for these episodes.
I was linking it to, like, an 80s movie, like an early 90s movie, like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles that I saw as a kid. And, like the bad guys are just so bad. Comically bad to make the heroes look good. But, like, even as you get to a certain age and you're like, man, the heroes aren't awesome. It's the bad guys just suck. And that's kind of what I felt it was in the werewolf movie. Like, the victim's just kind of like, and just kind of like didn't fight back at all, didn't try and run away. Just as soon as the werewolf just like, I think he was trying to choke this one woman. That's what it looked like anyway. And, if she had kneed him in the balls, she would have escaped. That's how strong he was. Not very, not at all, right?
Yeah. Or if she had not tried to go through that locked door repeatedly.
But she tried to, like, open the door, and that's all she does.
Because that werewolf's only running as fast as Dean Stockwell.
Yeah. That's my point.
Time to try every door in the house. Look for the key.
No, but she was outside of, like, a gas station, right?
Well, he was on the car, and he had to wait for her to stop and get out of the car before he could...
It's not like he punched through the roof or anything. Not like he grabbed her out of the car.
Why? Just get back in the car.
Drive
away.
Yeah, actually, if she had done that, she would have escaped. So...
Well, anyway. Taking out the werewolf.
Yeah.
3 miles down the road, he's just standing there.
Yeah, exactly. Because he was in a tuxedo the whole time too. Because he changed at a party. I mean, tuxedos don't allow that much mobility.
And he's like, you leave like a cup of coffee on the top of your car, and you start driving away. Where's that cup of coffee?
Oh,
it's on the car. It's like, where's that werewolf? We still on the car. Oh, should we stop?
Well, anyway.
But yeah, so I did a little research, people, so I'm well prepped for this episode.
And we thank you for taking that bullet.
Yeah. Silver bullet. I guess that...
Ba-dum-tsh.
Yeah. So anyway, you said this was what? Creature Feature Werewolf? So.
Yeah, so this is going to be a new segment of our podcast. We'll be doing Creature Features, where we're going to put a spotlight on a particular monster or race, like a fantasy race. And the first up is a werewolf, and we picked werewolves, and we picked that because Chris was talking about he really wanted to play a werewolf game, and we kind of shot him down, or at least I did.
No, you both did.
Yeah.
But so we wanted thought this would be a great monster spotlight for our debut. So to kick it off, the first thing we'll do is look at the stuff of legend and film and different ideas out there. Or what are the different werewolves out there?
Feature the creature. All right, so what's a werewolf?
Well, from my research, I learned that summer in Washington and very weedy. No,
some wear tuxedos, some don't.
I think the basic, I guess there's kind of two kinds. Oh, now I'm looking at the werewolf, the forsaken on the table, and I'm thinking there's even three kinds. But
yeah, okay.
Bear with me for a moment. There's basically two kinds, those that basically choose to become a werewolf or a shapeshifter, mm-hmm. skin changer, mm-hmm. and those who don't.
Yeah.
And those who don't, in legend, generally are bitten. Mm-hmm. And then they're cursed or something happens where they get that curse. Because there's other things that can trigger it, not necessarily the werewolf bite. But now looking at Werewolf the Forsaken, those that don't choose, some of them can be born into it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, and I think that's becoming pretty popular, but in legend, I don't think.
Well, I think
in legend, being born into it, it was not.
No, that wasn't really part of it.
No, yeah. Well, the original thing, as far as from what I know of it, is it represents kind of people giving into their bestial nature, and I think the infection of it comes from how easy it is to be. If you drink too much, unwillingly, you just become a bad person who beats up people. It's kind of a cautionary mythos. Mm.
The Werewolf of London, mm-hmm. which is. I don't know if it's the first werewolf movie, but it predates The Wolfman. They really do an interesting take on that mm-hmm. because the character becomes more bestial with each transformation. Mm-hmm. And you don't see that a lot. So it's more like Jekyll and Hyde.
Hmm. Interesting.
Does not to go off on a tangent, but in Jekyll and Hyde, does he become more monstrous with each transformation?
Yes. Okay. Yeah. So in that respect, it was more... more like Jekyll and Hyde than what we would normally associate with werewolves.
Yeah.
I was going to say, I think...
Because usually the transformation, they are the werewolf right. in that first...
You know, I've never thought for it. Jekyll and Hyde almost is a werewolf yeah. kind of story.
That would be the Though person who chooses.
Yeah, yeah, but I think that's more kind of caution against the evils of science versus, like giving into some kind of bestial nature, but...
I thought another possible werewolf myth was someone who would essentially kind of entered into like a deal with a devil or
yep.
like an evil
that's
spirit
one way
and
of...
for less power.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's what the people that choose, they can do that. Or I believe you could even be cursed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that could go either way. Either something you trade away for, or it's kind of like a side effect of the deal that you made.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But... Yeah. I think the one where you choose, that's more a more modern take on it. And I think it's really similar to vampires, where just kind of that mythos, that tradition is being romanticized.
Like Wayne said, if you look at the old skinwalkers where they do some sort of ritual and mm-hmm. They put on the hide of the beast mm-hmm. to transform. Uh-huh. So, or people that have been that make into some pact, as Wayne said, with the devil or
that's still different though, because like the effect of that turning into a monster, air quotes again, that's not their
doesn't
intent.
Work on a podcast.
Hence me saying air quotes. But yeah, they enter in the deal with the devil or with another power
right.
to get power, but they just want power. They don't want to turn into a monster.
Some of the skinwalkers,
I'm saying is different from that, and I think that's also a different kind of story. But it is still within this kind of bubble that is werewolf. Mm-hmm. But
I could see it being kind of
bubble that is
different.
Werewolf.
Yeah, that? Explain that. Explain
<don't>
that.
I don't know. The realm of the werewolf story. There we go. it really isn't that much better. But anyway, moving on.
I was going to say, since we had talked about vampires before, like, there seems to be a lot of, not disparate elements, but a lot of different information about vampires in terms of, you know, they can or can't cross running water, you have to invite them into your house, mm-hmm. Repelled by garlic and crosses, and sometimes it doesn't carry over in the different legends, but is it kind of like the same for werewolves? 'Cause
there are some ways to, like, I understand the silver bullet's quite... Actually, a very recent addition.
Really?
How is it?
And it's not really part of a lot of the werewolf. I think it's actually an addition of fiction as opposed to part of the legends, if you can separate legend and fiction.
Yeah. Hmm.
What I mean is like a book. Or
mm-hmm. Right. So
it's introduced in a book as opposed to being part of traditional legends. Like one of them is you can, if you say the werewolf's name, the actual person's name three times, you'll cure them of the disease.
Interesting.
It's a pretty easy disease to cure, then.
Unless they're barreling down upon you.
It is, and it isn't. Yeah, if you know who it is. So then, just for a game-wise, then if you have a werewolf and you introduce that element, then you got to figure out who is the werewolf. Mm. Because then that... So it becomes like a mystery.
That could be a pretty interesting
mystery. Yeah, so I thought...
Story,
but the first my first reaction was, oh, that's pretty easy.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
If you know who he is, it's right. Not like he's got a name tag. Hi, my name is Harry.
Harry, nice
good
one.
Choice. Genius, it's like that.
But then the werewolf can actually play with that and then put a name tag on. But it's not his name.
Where is he going to pin it?
If it's a modern, you get a sticky one. You get a sticky one.
Sticky, yeah, there you go.
Velcro?
Yeah, or his mom scrawled his name in the back of his, you know, thing. If lost, please return to...
find his underwear.
Yeah, exactly.
But then you do find his ripped up clothes, and then you do that. Maybe they're not. I mean, maybe it could just be a monogram, as opposed to, like, an iron-on thing. Or maybe, like, the Back to the Future joke. Calvin Klein is his name.
That could be a pretty interesting mystery.
Yeah,
you know, clues in there if you use that.
But yeah, there's not as great of a range of
different stories. Or
not necessarily different stories, but a great of a range of things that can hamper a werewolf or keep them at bay. Like vampires, there seems to be no end. Like throwing
vampires are just more popular.
Poppy seeds or whatever.
You know, yeah, probably.
So more people have done more revisions or their own takes on the vampire mythos.
There's an Eastern European country, I believe, maybe Serbia.
Transylvania.
No, it is not Transylvania because I would have remembered that. Yeah, no, it's not. Yeah, it's not werewolf's land either. but where the word for vampire and werewolf is interchangeable because their legend is kind of the same thing. And what do? They come back to have sex with their widow or something like that.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
So they rise from the dead to have sex with their widow.
Which sounds different from everything I know about vampires and werewolves as well.
No, of their widow, so they die and they come back. Well, yeah, for the widow, of course, it would be. But then you think about how did that legend come? Because if a widow says becomes pregnant again, maybe there's like it's real taboo to remarry. But of course, there's still a person with needs. Then it was my late husband,
my werewolf vampire husband.
Oh, not the werewolf vampire thing again. No. We're just plagued.
Either that or how many times has your husband come back from prison?
Yeah.
Now four kids?
There's nothing left of his corpse. Oh, keep digging it up.
We put a stake in that thing, shot out the silver bullet, man.
Cut off his head, we burned it.
Yeah, but you didn't cut off his genitals. That's why it keeps working.
And that's why in the myths, vampires are so hard to kill. Okay, so
I think for the most part, films that we watch, it's pretty much a curse, and they really played up on that.
Yeah.
And I think there's kind of a disconnect between a game like Werewolf, where they try to, and I think very creatively, they try to create, like, tribes.
Mm-hmm.
Or they have different tribes, and then I think it kind of lends itself so you could have a party dynamic.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of the werewolf stories that people are going to be drawn from, they don't have, like, a group of werewolves hanging out.
Solitary
they have
creatures.
Yeah, like, so actually, like, something like The Incredible Hulk is more in keeping with a werewolf story than Werewolf the Apocalypse or Werewolf the Forsaken.
Mm-hmm.
So it just seems, as far as pulling ideas out for a game, you're pulling ideas out to have a single protagonist.
Odd, because werewolf... The idea of werewolves being based on wolves and all, you know, with the whole pack mentality.
I didn't make that connection.
Anyway, based on the whole pack mentality, seems much more geared towards a kind of social interaction than, say, vampires. Because traditionally, vampires are also a very solitary kind of creature.
Right.
So, it's interesting that the vampire game is so much more popular than the werewolf game.
Yeah.
But I suppose that also goes with, like, vampires in general are more popular
than werewolves. Yeah, that might have to do with appearance. I mean, you know... I think more people would want to choose to remain to look human than to kind of...
Case by case.
I don't know. I think people would be... I'm going to disagree with you there, Wayne. No, but I think people are quite drawn to the idea of transforming into a 7 to 9 foot tall badass.
Mm.
Doesn't matter if they're hairy. I mean, basically, it's like being a superhero.
Players who would choose not to turn back.
Yeah, I just think people can't make... the connection why they would be hanging out, because again you don't have a lot of reference points.
And I've
said before, and sorry, I wasn't prepared to do this much research.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't seen the Twilight movies, but I understand they hang out together, the werewolves.
Yeah, but I'll say this, in the Twilight, at least the movie series, I think I said this before, the werewolf form is just a big wolf form.
And a lot of, well, a lot of the legends, there was like a very famous French werewolf or a French legend, and it basically is just a giant wolf. They were basically looking
for... Oh, you're talking about...
The Beast of... yeah.
I forget. You're kind of talking about the Brotherhood of the Wolf.
And that movie...
Is based on the legend.
Is based on this legend.
Yeah. So it actually is an actual legend that I...
And it is just it's just a giant... Well, in the legend, a giant wolf. And in the movie, we don't want to reveal...
No.
We don't want to reveal anything.
It's a good movie.
It's a good movie, but... Yeah, and you find out... It's kind of a mystery what the beast actually is. Mm. But we would definitely lump that in as a werewolf movie.
Yeah.
But after you watch it, then don't complain.
Yeah.
Because we didn't want to spoil anything for you. Mm. But that is a really good werewolf movie. But yeah, the werewolf is just as an antagonist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're just hunting. I mean, you don't get to know the werewolf, you don't sympathize with the werewolf, which in a movie like The Wolfman or The Werewolf of Washington.
I didn't really sympathize with him in Werewolf of Washington.
The idea is you would sympathize with him. That you it's a very sympathetic, solo, lonely character. Mm-hmm. Even watching a movie which is a kind of a grade down from Teen Wolf, My Mom's a Werewolf, and that person going through that
not having seen the movie, does the person who becomes a werewolf, is she having problems outside of being a werewolf?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, I kind of thought so.
Right.
No, it kind of makes sense about, you know, you have this solitary, kind of lonely character.
She's a mom. She's a mom.
Okay, but...
But it's actually a comedy.
Oh, well, yeah. All right. Okay. Blows my mind out of the water.
But she actually goes through a slow transformation. Like, she gets features periodically. As opposed to just having one massive change. Mm-hmm. It's a gradual change. So that would be an interesting thing to use.
Yeah.
As opposed to just suddenly waking up or suddenly there's a full moon and you transform into a werewolf, but you start to get different features. It would, obviously, because it's a werewolf, you would really stand out.
Yeah.
So then you have to hide and wear additional things.
I think...
not to turn creature feature werewolf into creature feature vampire, but the Gangrel in the White Wolf world, they... do something with that or did something with that where they, the more bestial they become, the more features of a beast that they get. So that is something that you could do just with werewolves. You're not a vampire, but the more bestial you become, maybe the more you change, the more features you can't get rid of. Because we didn't touch on this, but like there are certain signs of how you can tell
if somebody's a werewolf. If their index finger is longer than their...
I thought if it was your index finger is the same length as your middle finger.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Hairy palms. Wait, no, that was something else.
That was something
else. Something else. Yeah. Your mom warned you. That's why you wear those thick glasses.
You're right.
Yeah. Going blind doesn't mean you're a werewolf.
The unibrow.
Unibrow, pointed ears, oversized incisors.
Yeah.
Incisors, no, canines.
Yeah, canines.
And that brings up another thing, because with a vampire, they're a corpse. So there was like they just looked like a corpse. But with a werewolf, they live and interact in normal society until they can transform. So yeah, it's not like you only see them at night. They can operate during the day. And presumably, if they only transform when the moon comes out, they can live a fairly normal life. Or can they?
Well, that's part of the... Yeah, exactly. I mean, if you're looking at them as a protagonist role, then, yeah, that's really interesting because they can live with regular people in a day-to-day kind of thing. Or in an antagonist role also because it's one of us kind of idea.
Yeah, I know we're talking about kind of like protagonists and antagonists, but I thought that was kind of the whole, as you said in the beginning, the whole point of the werewolf thing, kind of the Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde thing. It's kind of like gothic horror in that, yeah, the monster is an external... In some situations, the monster is you.
Yeah.
And kind of the legend I always sort of knew is when the werewolf changes, kind of they track down and kill people they know, friends and family, and usually they kind of have no memory of what they did.
Right.
Well, it's the subconscious, and for a bad movie, we're referencing it a lot. The Werewolf of Washington, like he is subconsciously fulfilling the president's wishes. Mm-hmm. And the play on that, and we see that in more, let's say, cerebral films, where a person's got like a dream state, and then they find out I don't know you want to call Stephen King cerebral, but the dark half, where this other persona is going out and doing all these murders. I don't want to spoil it, but there, You can see a really good example in Session 9 of...
That's a good movie.
Of, you know, the subconscious causing you to do terrible things. Fantastic movie. And a good point is that's an incredible movie, but you will get less gaming ideas watching that movie because you watch that movie and you realize that's the perfect medium for this story. The movie, you couldn't even read this story because they've captured it. They needed the audio, the visual, these outstanding actors to do that. And you would not be able to recreate that story. And I think that creates a certain challenge for certain genres as well.
Well, maybe you would be recreating the story, which kind of wouldn't work, because if people have watched it, they know what the story is. So why would you want to play that story? Because they've already told it.
That's always just the problem with taking game plots from movies.
Yeah. But even that type of story, because then people would be like, all right, we know this thing is going to happen.
Yeah.
And it's very suspenseful. And it's a mystery. So once that's really difficult to translate, like that hook.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah, we're talking about subconscious?
Yeah,
that kind of got you sidetracked.
I think I made my point about how, if you had werewolves as a protagonists, like if you kind of had that psychological build up where the person doesn't know what's happening when they're a werewolf.
Can I ask a question right now?
Yeah.
Can you see that working with a group of werewolves?
No.
Yeah, me neither.
Which is what I was eventually going to get to.
Yeah, you could really play up the curse, and again, this is where there's a little bit disconnect with the games dedicated to werewolves. And I'm not saying that necessarily these are bad games, because I played them. And I'm going to eventually say that it doesn't work. So, but I wanted to leave that as a surprise. Oh, surprise spoil. And all the great movies or all the great stories that they're telling about werewolves. And I'm going to say, Twilight doesn't seem to be a terribly interesting story as far as the werewolves go. They're just another type of supernatural love interest for this girl.
Yeah.
Having never seen the books, having never seen the movies, and never will, it's just not that interesting. But the really good ones is when you watch either the person slowly transforming into this werewolf and not knowing what's going on, or there's a sudden transformation. And basically, they're caught, they're destroying their own lives. Mm-hmm. And I think that could be good to play one-on-one. But I couldn't see a group in this, like, what you get together every night saying, yeah, I killed my wife. Yeah. I've been there, Samuel.
And by the way, you know what?
Sounds like an AA meeting.
Yeah, and by the way, we probably shouldn't use names, and I shouldn't get too close to you because one of us is going to kill the other. So, right.
Ooh, now that just gave me an idea. Maybe that would be... I mean, the people know, and it's kind of like, let's say, like that movie Hancock, I don't know, it's a superhero movie, where they shouldn't come together because bad things will happen when they come together, but they're attracted to each other. And maybe that's something to play with if you wanted to play a group of werewolves. It's not a good idea, but it's so lonely. I don't know if people want to play that kind of navel-gazing game.
Mm-hmm. That's a difficult game to play.
Right. I mean, it's pretty much playing a really dark... It could be like playing a really dark superhero game that's going to end tragically.
Yeah.
Because you want to be together. And maybe you do good things together or try to do good things, but everything will always break down. You will only ever cause destruction. Mm. But if you go out on your own, and maybe you could even play this when an individual is cursed, is... Even if they're doing like the Incredible Hulk TV series, where they're walking, he's walking and he's always trying to do good and going through the next town and the next town, but his affliction, his curse, or her affliction, her curse is always going to cause something bad to happen, or people are going to, even if that curse causes a good thing, like they kill the mobster, they kill the abusive husband, the person can never get. Once the secret's revealed, they can't get close to that, or they want nothing to do with that person.
Yeah. If you look at the werewolf lycanthropy as a curse like that, then definitely.
Yeah.
I mean, if you go with the other route where people can choose to be it, then it's a completely different kind of story.
Yeah.
But if you look at the curse, I was thinking about that, how to make a protagonist out of an uncontrolled thing. And I was thinking it'd be something like, I can't remember the name of it because I saw it ages ago, but I saw a movie where there were a group of people who'd contracted like this horrible disease that if they got in contact with anybody else, they would spread it and die. But for the time being, they still had a couple months left to live, and they still wanted to live that out. So there was kind of the government was hunting them down to try to kill them because they could spread this disease, but they wanted to survive themselves. They were kind of on the run. So I thought that something like that, if lent to werewolves, might work out. You have a group of people who are dangerous to society in their own right and are very powerful in the fact that if they get around other people, they would cause these other people to die. But there's something more powerful that's coming after them, a government agency or some other kind of group. Hmm.
I like the disease angle there, like a really the real emphasis on the disease, because they're basically spreading a contagion, a virus or whatever, and they can't control it.
Right.
But if you really play up that it is a very very infectious.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was going to say the thing I thought about is not having played in Werewolf the Forsaken.
You didn't like that disease thing?
No, well, I was going to say I was going to build on it.
Okay, go on. Like, that's gold.
Chris. If you kind of go the traditional route about the contagion is spread through a bite.
Right. No. Right? Yeah.
So okay, these people know they have the disease.
People, go on.
Like, who can prevent? You know, when you change into a werewolf, if you become sort of like a super strong ravening beast, who can control a person who changed? Well, only someone as strong as them, aka sort of another werewolf. So if the werewolves sort of still have mental, you know, if they retain their mental ability.
Mm-hmm. Which it sounds like they would.
Yeah. So, like, if someone kind of goes berserk, then sort of the only people around him who could prevent this person from spreading the disease would be people as strong as him, aka other werewolves. Right. So you kind of have an incentive.
It's almost like
a support group. Okay, well, we all have this disease. If one of us goes berserk, the other people can hopefully contain the guy. And, you know, it's sort of like a mutual support network.
In a game, which if is they the thing lost control every time they changed that...
I'm not saying every time, but if there's the potential for someone to kind of go berserk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when you transform into a wolf, and maybe it's not even something that they can control, it's a very delicate balance of all that power, and they're riding that power. And they can maintain control, usually. Mm-hmm. But it's just too powerful to always, because basically it's two different minds. It's the animal and the person.
Yeah.
And then occasionally then you would lose control. Mm-hmm. And then that's where then what Wayne's saying, that could be because maybe some people can keep control at that particular time, and then they'll like kind of tackle the person that's out of control.
It's almost like Alcoholics Anonymous, you know?
I don't see this as a massive campaign, but that would be a really cool story of all these people sharing this. And again, to play up the disease, they have a disease, and they are just spreading it. Mm-hmm. So they have the problem, and they're just multiplying it. So it could even play into people who enjoy playing zombie games.
Well, that's the thing.
But you're the zombie, but this is what you are. You're not just like some mindless undead thing.
Yeah.
I don't even think it would be that interesting to say, okay, you're undead, but you're an undead zombie, but you keep your consciousness, because then what are you? What are you? Just like a kind of a weak person.
Yeah.
You're like a Dean Stockwell werewolf. But there, you get a rush, and maybe it does become addictive to transform. So if you make it so you can actually choose to transform, or if the storyteller is presenting problems where they should be transforming to deal with that problem, but that's, of course, creates greater problems. And of course, maybe the government is hunting them down.
So it's almost like this party. I think there needs to be a more powerful group that comes that is fighting against them. Because otherwise, if you have these characters who have this kind of power, and there's nothing more powerful than them, then you just run amok.
And I think that's the big problem of having a group of werewolves, is because one werewolf is pretty powerful usually. But once you get a group, then you've basically created a situation that not many people can deal with. Mm-hmm. And when we talked about werewolf, the old werewolf, the apocalypse, they even had this rule of delirium where people look at, they still have that rule.
Oh, yeah, people forget that they ever saw it.
Yeah, so you don't even have this downside of like where people say, oh, there's like 9-foot tall monsters. Mm-hmm. That's what destroyed that house and killed that gang.
Right.
So you don't even have the police like look on the lookout for werewolves, or you don't even have that aspect.
Which I thought was a real weakness of the
It was
World
a real
Darkness
cop-out. Yeah. Let's be honest. It was a cop-out, and I think led to countless werewolf games devolving into, there's nothing a 9-foot tall werewolf can't fix. Mm-hmm. There's no problem that a werewolf can't fix. Mm-hmm. Just crushing the door and destroying whatever problem. Yeah. Which and is... then it kind of leads to an escalation, because then you need to have as you're saying, an opponent that's as powerful or more powerful. Mm-hmm. But if you got a whole group of these people, you just have to get ridiculous levels of power on the side.
And that's one of the reasons why I was initially intrigued by the idea of Underworld, is that the vampires... The vampires were kind of like this upper class, and they were the power. I mean, they controlled the police and the government and everything like that, just similar to the World of Darkness vampires.
Yeah.
And the werewolves were subjugated, beaten. Like, they used to be slaves, and now they're just kind of these sparse little groups here and there, and almost like a freedom fighter kind of role. Anyway, that to me was really interesting.
The werewolf books, the werewolf game, they do have, of course, an antagonist for the players to...
But it's another werewolf group.
Yeah, there are other werewolf groups.
Sometimes there are other werewolf groups, or there's this mega bad corporation. Like, if we look at the old Werewolf of the Apocalypse, there's Pentax, the really bad corporation. Mm-hmm. Then there's the Black Spiral Dancers, corrupted werewolves. Mm-hmm. And plus all these spirit world things. Mm-hmm. In Werewolf the Forsaken, there's actually just other werewolves that consider themselves pure.
Yeah, and there's also still the spirit stuff.
And I don't know, it just seems...
I think this...
Some of it seems a little bit... I would say Werewolf the Apocalypse seems less tacked on than what's going on with the Forsaken. Again, because it has that disconnect from all everything that you would watch or read about the legends or the different werewolf stories is different from what you got in this game, which on the one hand makes the game quite original, but on the other hand, it's like, wow, I'm a werewolf without the downside. I mean, I can turn into a werewolf anytime I want. Mm-hmm. I'm having some of that.
Exactly. I think a werewolf game would be much more feasible without that.
Yeah, for a group. I think you almost, apart from what we just said, the idea of the sort of support group for the contagious PCs.
Well, even with that, I would exclude the delirium idea where people just forget that they've seen you.
I mean, that would be one recommendation. Yeah. Get rid of the delirium, because there should be consequences.
I can't think of a game I would play where I would keep that rule.
Downside about removing the delirium is then you could create the situation where you're forcing your players to become cleanup specialists, where we've got witnesses. Then it becomes where you're basically... They're not even anti-heroes anymore. They're just
vigilantes.
A pack. Not even vigilantes. Because they're killing people that saw them. Got to keep our secret. Got to keep that secret.
Again, why I would recommend like a more powerful base, like a government group that cleans up after it so as not to sow panic in the population, or the more powerful vampire upper class clean it up so that people at large don't realize that there is this other supernatural world.
Oh, but that's just another cop out.
Not necessarily, because if you're, let's say, for example, you have the one where the vampires are the more powerful group. If you go and you do something and people see you, granted, you don't have to worry about the cleanup, but now those vampires who are against you know that you're here and are looking for you, which is more dangerous.
Yeah, but...
No, my point is you would then get rid of all the witnesses.
As the werewolf. Hopefully you would have a good enough morality that you wouldn't go around killing them all.
You can't really...
There's always a downside. Every suggestion you make is that there is a downside. And to take the game werewolf and then just to remove that one finicky rule, then you could conceivably have players do that.
Yeah.
It would almost encourage it.
Going back to your original idea, Chris, I think, it would almost encourage it. But going back to your original idea is... Like, the premise is you are on the run. Mm-hmm. The reason you're banding together is because no one else will have you and you're super contagious. But you do want to live a life.
Right.
And maybe even do want to do good. Let's try to turn this negative into a positive. But you know, it's not really going to happen.
No.
Then in that situation, then I think it could work. Because you're always hiding your true nature from everybody. You do have that premise right away that... You don't want people to find out because the government's coming after you or someone else is coming out. Maybe even other werewolves are coming after you because you shouldn't go out into the human world.
Yeah.
So basically they dispatch like a force to track down the strays or whatever and build that up. You could actually use the werewolf rules for that. Mm-hmm. But I think building the world from the ground up and keep as much of the old... flavor from the legends as possible. Don't have the "we're guardians of the spirit world."
Yeah, werewolves have been around for hundreds of years and have been popular in culture. Yeah. So, man, why not use that? You know, go with it.
Yeah. Or you could have the players be that group that's kind of hunting them down or trying to bring the strays in.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's a really cool idea. I didn't actually think of that angle.
You mean the players be the cleanup crew?
Not the cleanup crew, because I'm kind of against that, because I think...
It's just morally bankrupt.
Well, it's morally bankrupt, but it always gives your players an out. It's like, you can do whatever you want in the, you know, in the city, mm-hmm. and someone's going to clean up your mess after you. It's like you never learned. It's like your mom cleaning up.
If the players were the cleanup crew, though?
No, I'm not saying the cleanup crew.
No, that's what I said. So if the players were the cleanup crew.
No, if there's a cleanup crew at all, whether or not the players are the cleanup crew, I don't think the players would enjoy being the cleanup crew. The game would be, okay, you kill witnesses.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And I don't think it would be good to have a cleanup crew, because then it's like, do whatever you want. And basically, you may as well have the delirium.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But what I'm saying is, when we talked about maybe one of the antagonists, or one of the people hunting down this support group of werewolves, mm-hmm. these fleeing werewolves, are the ones that are trying to bring them back into werewolf society, which is completely divorced from human society. Mm-hmm. You could flip it, and you are the group trying to get these lone wolves, mm-hmm. these strays that are actually not very good. They're not good guys.
Yeah.
They are causing a lot of damage, and they don't
care. They
spread
this disease.
And maybe it's there's not only are they spreading the disease, but they're also very resentful. Why should I suffer?
It might be good actually to take something from kind of the D&D world, where there actually are the two different types coexisting. Is that in the ones that can transform by choice? I suppose they called them like true lycanthropes, and then ones who are infected with it. So you have the true ones, perhaps the bad guys, but then you also have to deal with people who have been infected. Is there a cure? How you take care of them?
I didn't think there was a D&D thing. Maybe it was, but
that's where I know it from.
Yeah, like I think I know it from that too. But you have kind of like the quote unquote hereditary vampires who can, or not vampires, hereditary werewolves who can mm-hmm. control their change.
Yeah.
And kind of, you know, have it by birth versus right. the ones that are cursed and kind of can't control
yeah.
it.
Right. Right.
I think after saying that, you would have to kind of put that in that story. Because then that would introduce, a nice moral dilemma. Because I personally think it would get kind of boring if you were just constantly tracking down the cursed ones because they're
no, I would bad. Say that would not be my preference. I actually prefer being the... I think it would be more interesting to play the cursed ones, getting tracked down. Mm-hmm. But then you would have to kind of have a real good reason. Why are you out in the human world? Like, if you know that you're spreading the disease, or you have the potential to spread the disease, or just to go crazy where, yeah, that person's not going to turn into a werewolf because you've torn that person apart, because mm-hmm. you've lost control. Then there has to be a really compelling reason that they're out in the world. If there is actually a society of, let's say, true werewolves, mm-hmm. for lack of a better term, who are trying to bring them back. Mm-hmm. So, of course, they could actually fit into that society. So why are they running away from the true werewolves?
Well, that was an idea I had for a campaign, was to not the one that I was giving to you guys before, but where they received this infection, I don't know, by what, one crazy werewolf in New York or something, and it was London. But werewolf kind of there's this idea where there is a society way off, like in the Canadian wilderness or something, of werewolves. So the idea of the campaign is to get there. To get out of the city and stuff, but there's all these different groups coming after you.
Or just to borrow from, you know, our favorite board game, but Battlestar Galactica, mm-hmm. And a very good TV series. But they're trying to find it. So if we go way back when we talk about the other mystery, mm-hmm. is they're trying to find and looking for clues to find where is this, you know, Shangri-La of werewolves, mm-hmm. and of course there's always the. So it is kind of the Incredible Hulk road movie, going mm-hmm. from town to town,
yeah.
and hopefully doing good deeds. But you know, there's always that problem, and you can't stay.
Right.
You know what will happen if you stay. But they're trying to follow these different clues and different leads.
There's also
in the Canadian wilderness, which yeah. you know, there are cities in Canada. You know.
Really?
Yeah.
I was going to say
a little bit rougher.
Could be, you know, actually tracking down. Like, this goes into the old mythos that in order to, if you were infected with lycanthropy, you'd have to kill or meet or something from the one that gave it to you.
Yeah. So my mom's a werewolf had that.
There you go.
Where you had to get the person that bit her.
Yeah. So the road movie is you trying to track down the person that infected your group.
Infected a group of us all at the same time.
Well, not all at the same time. Maybe you can start the campaign with that before having the characters meet up. Just say, all right, you've already all met. You're kind of your own support group. You have been infected. You can make up the story whatever you want, how it happened. But this is a situation. Go.
Or you can even do, like, it's infectious with a bite, but it could also be done through rituals, like a black mass and stuff. So that could explain why a whole group of them were, like, infected en masse, excuse the pun. Is that, it was some sort of...
Sorry.
It was some sort of ritual that the person did, so they're kind of getting this person who might not even be a werewolf. He could be some sort of sorcerer or sorceress or witch. So then then you also add that element into the story that you're not necessarily the only supernatural. And it doesn't have to be what's becoming almost a cliche, the vampires versus the werewolf. Mm. But it could be are kind of like mages or sorcerers or warlocks who are manipulating and creating these supernatural beasts. Sorry, Chris.
Yeah, I was interrupting you. No, but I think that's almost a necessity in a vampire game is to have something that can lead to good conflict with them. You know, you have to have something on par or more powerful than the player characters themselves. And something like that, like mages or sorcerers or some other supernatural element would be good.
And I'll raise this. It's like sometimes I think it can be boring for players if their antagonist is the same as them, which is always the danger. Like that was the one danger of our... I thought pretty decent idea of like having this one group of werewolves hunting you down because they want to bring you back or whatever.
Well, isn't it
couldn't they be hobgoblins?
Isn't it difficult for there to be apart from sort of killing your own kind, Bent, which is maybe where you were going with the human thing?
No, I think I was just doing it. People seem to think that's boring.
Well, I was going to say I thought it would be the mystery thing. Like if you're a werewolf, they're werewolves. You pretty much know what they can do. You pretty much know what to look for.
Which is why you could say.
No, that's what I mean. It would be boring. It's like you're matched almost too equal. Even if one is like, well, I'm like a fifth level werewolf. You're a third level werewolf. It's still you're basically doing the same thing.
But you don't have to give away everything. If you have this one guy who's say the true werewolf, he's been a werewolf his whole life or whatever, and you're just newly infected.
Yeah.
I mean, imagine someone who's fully cognizant, fully practiced with all of their powers versus someone who doesn't know anything about it. You see that sometimes in like a vampire movie where the newly infected vampire he'll like, wow, I'm really strong and fast, and then he'll go up against someone who's been a vampire for 100 years, and it's like, holy shit, I don't know jack compared to this guy.
Oh, absolutely. And I'm not saying that that's bad, but you also have to be aware, like, when players... And you could do it, but when you run another game, like, and I was using the fantasy as a game as an example, if they don't seem to respond very well when you have primarily human antagonists and they're mostly human, then there might be something where they want a different race. They want a different face.
Yeah.
Even if an orc does pretty much the same thing as a human, but it's a different face. So they kind of think that, oh, this is helping me transport myself into that world. Mm-hmm. And again, I think what Wayne was touching on, you can add a little, that much more mystique to the antagonist. If we're werewolves, if that was like some sort of devil's, he's like a devil worshiper. What is he?
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of mystery, just that one extra element. I mean, where is he or her?
Mm-hmm.
Who else is with that person? What are they?
Mm.
And then why do they turn us into werewolves? You know, that was such a deliberate thing. Why would they do that?
Yeah, and of now, all things, why werewolves too?
Yeah. Why a Dean Stockwell werewolf? Why not a stronger one?
Run around the Wiccan like,
I just get confused by phone booths.
Cool.
Well, we don't have a lot of time, but if we could just talk... We've touched on werewolves as antagonists.
And protagonists as well.
Yeah, you know, we definitely covered protagonists. Yeah. But as antagonists, we've talked about them as like hunting down other werewolves.
Mm-hmm.
And you're running from them. But what about just dropping them in to like a supernatural game, as in the TV series,
right,
where you're hunters hunting down werewolves? You think that's interesting? Do you think people do enough with the werewolf as an antagonist? And what I mean by that is, if you're hunting down a beast, that's only a beast, how much can you do with that? Or should you have somebody that's more... And I was kind of maybe joking about that before we were recording, but the song The Werewolves of London, where they're more sophisticated.
Mm-hmm.
They're having pina coladas. And I'm not saying...
Make your
villain drink a pina colada to add a little sophistication.
I think I know where you're going.
Perhaps a martini. But where they don't lose any of their mental faculties.
I think both could be interesting.
Oh, yeah, both could be. I think you could... I think as a beast, and I'll say this now, I think as a beast, that's good maybe one time, maybe two time, maybe, oh, we're hunting a werewolf, oh, now we're hunting a pack of werewolves. But then if you have even, you know, what Chris was touching on, like an uber werewolf, a head werewolf, who perhaps keeps all his or her faculties and can do a lot of different things, and then they can become quite an quite an engaging opponent.
Well, I think you can kind of treat them as a different kind of antagonist, depending on what kind of story you want to tell. Hmm. What I thought of is there's three different ways that I came to me anyway, was like a monster, as in a monster movie. Mm-hmm. So it's something that's very powerful, but you don't get to see very often. You've got to hunt it down, find out. And that's with just one, obviously, or right. Maybe a smaller group. You can see it as a plague, something that will spread this lycanthropy if you don't stop it. Or mm-hmm. something as more kind of versus a group, like you said with Werewolves of London, where it's these powerful, sophisticated people, but they also happen to be werewolves. That's maybe where some of their physical power comes from. But the one that's most interesting to me, anyway, is as a monster movie, at least if I was using it as an antagonist, something that's really powerful, but it's also one of us inside this society, so you know that it's somebody that perhaps you've talked to or met.
It could even become like the movie The Thing. It's one of us. Which one of us is it?
Yeah, absolutely. And so, I thought, like, I wrote that down as my thing, is one protagonist, antagonist, and then also self versus myself. You know, we have this player character group, and we know that one of them is the bad guy. Who is it?
I think that kind of game could be hard to run.
I think extremely difficult.
Especially because,
you know, if you as a GM are keeping it secret, then you have to tell one of the players eventually, yeah. Like, hey, you're the bad guy.
Yeah. I mean, it could be pretty fun if done correctly, but it would be very difficult.
Exactly. I can see it going really well or really poorly.
Yeah, I see it going really poorly. Similar to that. I didn't mean that you would run it and be poorly. But similar to that idea is kind of a traditional mystery about, okay, someone in the town or the city or the village, some NPC that you have met possibly is the werewolf, and you know they don't know themselves. And the PCs would have to find them.
Totally forgot to mention, have you guys heard about the new movie, Little Red Riding Hood?
Yes, I have.
Yes,
I haven't seen that yet.
I saw just a commercial for it, but it looked something like that. It had Gary Oldman, he was in a town, and they were searching for the werewolf. And he was saying, like, no, you guys are all idiots. You didn't kill anything that when you shot that wolf, that he's here. He's one of you. Hmm. Like, he led you to that hunting site so he killed so that you would think you're safe. That's just so cool. Like you said, it's like gothic horror.
Like Jaws, although Jaws wasn't leading them into it, but they would kill sharks. And mm-hmm. Like, that's not the right one.
That's so cool.
Or in France, when they're hunting killing different wolves, and you're like, yeah, that's not the wolf.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
a wolf.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a big wolf, but that's not the wolf.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think, again, as a one-off story, mm-hmm. I think definitely as a monster, because then you really play on just the old legends and that. I think if you're trying to tell, I think I really like the disease idea.
Mm-hmm.
I think that right now, if I was going to run a werewolf game, it would really play up the disease.
Mm-hmm.
And just you just present that to the players is not, don't just think of it as playing werewolf, but you're playing patient zero. Or,
mm-hmm.
But probably if you were going to have a werewolf play a prominent role, I would go back to you. Whether or not all werewolves are these sophisticates, but at least one of them
mm-hmm.
is kind of like some sort of master werewolf who can do different things, and they come in and perhaps they control all the bestial werewolves.
Mm-hmm.
And perhaps maybe even, you can even incorporate the disease
yeah.
into that, is he or she is unleashing this disease on the world, and the only way you can really cure these people is to eliminate this person who's quite wily and intelligent and crafty.
And building an army.
yeah. So it's almost like playing the Zompocalypse game.
Absolutely.
Except
it's a werepocalypse?
A werepocalypse. There you go. Not Werewolf the Apocalypse.
Not Werewolf the Apocalypse.
You've heard it here first.
I think we have a title for this episode, yeah.
And the disease perhaps could be werepox?
That's quite good.
Actually, yeah. Smallpox or cowpox?
Yeah. That's not
pox. Oh, check out the brain.
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes I come up with good
that's
ones.
What you hit yeah. under all that hair.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah, so basically, yeah, there you go. The next game we run, if it ever has werewolves, it'll be Werepocalypse.
Yeah, kind of like you said earlier, it wouldn't even have to be a master werewolf. It could be a sorcerer or something, and that's
yeah.
kind of the way they've chosen to have their minions for whatever reason.
Yeah.
Like I said, the black mask kind of ritual thing, like, yep, they're being changed into werewolves. Why? Well, you have to find out.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
Well, we've got our next werewolf game, or in some cases, our first werewolf. I played Werewolf the Apocalypse. I haven't played Forsaken. It doesn't really appeal to me.
Yeah, me neither, not that much.
Yeah. So, as we said, not really at the beginning of this episode, but somewhere in the first third of the beginning, Creature Feature will come up periodically, and that's where we'll spotlight a monster or race and talk about what you can do with it. And hopefully this is a good example of what to expect from Creature Feature.
Yeah.
And if you run your own Werepocalypse game, registered trademark, tell us what happened to the Werepox.
Absolutely, absolutely. Cool.
All right. See you next week.
All right. Take care. Thanks. Bye. Kobe, Japan. See us online at www.idleredhands.com. Music provided by Tripod Jimmy, and the song was Roadkill. Hope you enjoyed it. See you next time.